Good morning. I want to welcome you to the Boone's Mill Church of the Brethren as we come together to worship this morning. And we're certainly delighted to have you here. And the first Sunday of Lent, as we're approaching our season of celebration of Easter. So we're glad that you're here. I have been blessed to be able to have had both of my COVID shots from the Pfizer vaccination. And because of that, I feel like it's going to be okay for me to remove my mask as I preach this morning. And that's one of the blessings and advantage of having the vaccination. And so that gives me a little bit of freedom this morning as I share with you. Still, when I'm around you and interacting with you, I will have my mask on. Well, we are in the sermon series, How to Face Our Future. This is part 5 today. And the message that I want to share with you is how to be blessed by the Bible. And from our scripture text, I pray that we're going to be able to do that. Jesus is the Word. And we're looking at a message, how to be blessed by the Bible. So to be blessed by the Bible means to hear God's Word. And to hear God's Word means to know who Jesus is. I want to ask you a personal question this morning. How many of you own a Bible? Yeah. How many of you have more than one Bible in your home? Yes. You know, in America, Bibles are everywhere. You can find them in grocery stores and bookstores and hospitals and motel rooms. Bibles are everywhere. They're available in all sizes and shapes and translations and versions, and they're leather bound and paper bound and all different kind of compositions. And every year the Bible outsells every other major bestseller. Every year. Last year, there were over 500 million Bibles published in the world. And there were 18,000 different languages in those publications. And in America, we are presented with the Word of God on airwaves and radio and CDs and TVs and books and magazines. It's everywhere. Yet, millions of people in our country still miss the blessings of the Bible. Why? Because it's not something that's just automatic because you own a Bible or you have one in your home or you have one around. The Bible is a book of blessings, yes. It promises comfort, it promises strength, it promises hope and wisdom and joy and power and purpose. But just because you have a Bible doesn't mean you're going to get the benefit from it. James, being his practical self, gives us 3 steps on how to be blessed by the Bible. And the key is in verse 25, which says that the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard by doing it, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does. You see, the Bible is called the perfect law. Because it's exactly what you need. It's exactly what I need. It's the perfect law because God has given us something that we need. And it promises that if you listen, if you really listen and do it, then it promises freedom and it promises blessings. And James gives us 3 steps that we can take to receive those blessings. And the first one is that I must receive God's Word. If I'm going to be blessed by the Bible, I must receive it. And so in verse 21, it says, accept the word that's planted in you. Now, the word accept in the Greek, that word accept is a hospitality term which literally means to welcome. To welcome something to come on in. And so when the scripture says accept, it says to welcome that. If we're going to be blessed by the word of God, then first we must welcome the word into our lives. We must be receptive. We must read it. It must be a book of our life every day. James gives us an illustration. He says that word is planted in you. He gives the illustration of a gardener and the seed that goes into a garden. The Bible, all through Scripture, compares itself to seed. It says that the Word of God is a seed. And so that seed has to be received. It has to be planted. It has to be put into our lives. And Jesus told the parable of the sower. You remember that. And he said the Word of God is seed and it's planted in our heart. In other words, the sower goes out and he sows the seed. Some of it gets taken away by the devil before it ever goes in the ground. Some of it gets, it sprouts and comes up real quickly, but the sun comes out and all the stress of life just causes it to wither. It doesn't have any depth. There's no root. He said some of it, though, it actually takes root, but when it comes up, it's choked by the weeds and the thorns and by money and things that people put their attention to instead of giving it attention to the word, and then it gets choked out and it dies. But some seed falls into good soil, and when it falls into good soil, it gets planted in a heart. So how is it you can take two seeds that are exactly the same and plant them in two different locations and get two different crops in fruitfulness? Well, it's because one soil is prepared and the other is not. The hard path, seed can't penetrate. The rocky soil, it has no depth. Thorny soil, it has weeds in it. But there's good soil, so you have to prepare that soil. It has to be prepared so that it can receive the seed, so it can receive the word. How is it, then, that you can take two people and put them in a worship service with the same message, and one person gets blessed by it, and the other person says he didn't get anything out of it? One heart was prepared, and one heart wasn't prepared. And James says we must receive the word of God with the right attitude. And he gives us four attitudes that you need if you're going to receive the word of God. And the first one, he says, be careful. In verse 19, it says, be quick to listen. In other words, give it your full attention. Realize how important it is. Be alert. Don't miss what it is that God wants to say to you. Don't miss what God is wanting to plant into your heart and life. And so be slow to speak, but quick to listen. God gave us two ears and one mouth, so maybe we ought to listen twice as much as we talk. I don't know if that's the purpose. It would look kind of funny with one ear and two mouths, but I think there might be something to that. Maybe we just need to be quick to listen. Be ready to receive God's word. So Scripture says be careful. Here's the second thing. It says be calm. In other words, be calm if you're going to receive God's word and be blessed by it. In verse 19 again, and latter part of that verse, it says, and be slow to become angry. Now, a relaxed attitude increases receptivity. Because when you have bitterness in your life, bitterness is a barrier. It's an emotional block that keeps you from hearing God's word. Some may ask, how come God never speaks to me? Maybe you've got some resentment in your life. And you can't hear the word of God. And you need to get rid of that resentment, that bitterness. What is your emotional state normally when you come to church on Sunday morning? I remember when I had children at home, that when I'd come into the church, I was a mess, trying to get them ready, trying to get them to stop squabbling, me trying to not squabble with them, and trying to drive because I'm a little bit late now and I need to get to church quickly. By the time I got to church, I was a basket case. How do you come to church on Sunday morning? Is there struggle or difficulty or resentment for even coming? Do you come with a calm attitude? In many homes on Sunday morning, it's kind of hectic. And then we come to the last minute and expect somehow that God is going to speak to us in that kind of attitude. Scripture says, we need to be slow to become angry, and we need to be calm when we come into God's presence. Here's the third way that we are able to have the right attitude to receive God's word. In verse 21, it says, get rid of all moral filth and the evil that is so prevalent. And the word filth that James uses here in this scripture text is that you've got to get rid of. It's the same word in the Greek that is used for earwax. And you know, if you have earwax, you can't hear. And so this filth that James is talking about is like earwax. In other words, you've got stuff in your life that is blocking God from being able to speak to you. When you have sin in your life, it blocks what God wants to say to you. It prevents God's word from getting into your heart. And so James says, get rid of that evil. Get rid of that which is blocking God from talking to you so that you have what is needed in your life, what is right in your life. How can we be clean? When we have filth in our life, when we have things that are blocking us from hearing what God would want to speak to us, how do we get rid of that? You know, don't you? The scripture says by confession. You confess your sin. You confess what you know is filth, what you know is wrong, what you know that is keeping you from being blessed by God. You make confession. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness, all filth. And here's the fourth thing. Be compliant. Teachable, to be yielded, to be humble, willing to be changed is being compliant. James says, humbly accept the word of God that's planted in you. Don't act like you know it all. If you know it all, God's word can't get through to you. Because God's ways are not your ways or man's ways. And God's ways are higher than the world's way. So what do? Well, you need to pray. You need to confess. And you need to ask God, do what you need to do in my life so that I can be here before you without sin. God says, if you want to be blessed, first you have to receive it. If you want to hear the word of God, you have to be open to it. You have to receive it. Reception is first, but it is not enough. James says that we not only need to receive the Word of God, but also we must reflect on the Word of God. In verse 23, anyone who listens to the Word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself immediately goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. James uses an illustration here. God's Word is like a mirror. And when I look into the mirror, what do I see? Does it tell me I'm living the life that God would have me live? Am I doing what God would want me to do? Am I being what God has created me to be? And when I put that mirror down and walk away, do I remember what I saw? Or do I forget that? The purpose of a mirror is to evaluate us. We use that to self-evaluate ourselves. So we look in a mirror to see what's wrong with our looks. I bet you did that this morning. I bet you before you came to church this morning, you looked in a mirror to look to see if you were presentable to come to church. Now, what if you'd looked and you said, oh no, my hair is out of place, and then whatever you might have said, and you said, so what? I bet you didn't do that. And when we look at the Word of God and we hear God speaking to us and saying, this is what you need to do, this is what's wrong, this is what you need to correct, do you put that down and walk away and say, yeah? Or do you remember what you saw and what God said He saw? What good is it to have a mirror if we don't do anything about what we see? A mirror reflects what we're like on the outside. God's Word reflects what we look like on the inside. Have you ever seen yourself in the Bible? Hebrews says, God's Word detects the thoughts and the intents and the motives and the desires of our heart. That's what Word does. It reflects to us whether we're living the way God would have us to live. And James gives us three practical ways to reflect on the Word of God. That when we look at it, this is what we should do. First of all, he says we should read it. In verse 25, the man who looks intently into the perfect law. He's actually talking more about research than he is reading. In other words, we need to investigate what it is we're reading. The word look in the Greek means to stoop down and to gaze in. It's a word that was used for Peter when he went to the tomb on Resurrection Sunday, and it said that he stooped down and he peeked in to the tomb to see if Jesus was really there, as the women had said, or whether he was gone. The Greek word that Peter used was translated in English as look, but it meant to investigate, to see for himself if what they had said was true. So you need to focus your attention on the Word of God, but you can't just give God 5 minutes in your devotion. I don't know how much time you use looking into the mirror of God. I don't know if you read your Bible every day for 5 minutes, or you look into the mirror of God's Word for 10 minutes a day, or 15 minutes, or 30 minutes, or an hour, or a couple hours a day. Do you think it would make any difference if you were doing it for 5 minutes or for an hour a day? Or if you were doing it for 5 minutes a week? You have to gaze at the Word. You have to investigate it. You have to look at it intently in detail. James says we need to receive the Word of God, and then we need to reflect on it, first by reading it, and second by reviewing it. But then reviewing it, in verse 25 it says, and you not only look into the Word, but you continue to do so. That means you do it over and over and over. The Bible calls this meditation. When you think about something over and over, it's meditation. That's what we do when we take something that's negative in our life. When something is negative and we think about it over and over, we call that worry. We're worrying about it. We're meditating upon this negative thing that is in our life. And so when you take the Word of God and you think about it over and over, we call that meditation. In other words, we remember that holy is the Lord, and that God loves us, and that God has created us with a purpose and meaning. And so when we go over and over that, we are meditating upon that. The Bible says, meditate on God's Word. And Jesus said, if you continue in my word, then you truly are my disciples, Jesus said. In a word, if you not only know the word, you read it, and you hear it, and you listen to it, and you receive it, but if you continue in it, if it becomes a part of your life, Jesus said, then you truly are my disciple. Read it and review it. And the outlines, you know, I use this up on the screen. Before I was handing out paper copies, and those paper copies gave you an outline of what I wanted you to know that I was going to be talking about, and you could jot down notes and you could have that to recall through the week or as you went over it again. Part of the reason for doing it on the screen is so that it's not just something I'm doing so that you can follow along, but it's so that you can review it and so that you can meditate upon it and so that you can get it inscribed within your heart and mind in a deeper way. And James says, you want to be blessed? Then read the Word, but reflect on the Word. Think about it. Put it in your heart. Think about it by reading, and then more importantly, by reviewing it. And here's the third thing he says, remembering it. He says in verse 25, not forgetting what you have heard. Nothing will benefit your personal spiritual life more than developing the habit of remembering Scripture. Thy word have I hid in my heart, that I might not sin against thee. Remembering God's word, if you want to be blessed by it. We remember what's important to us. The military did a study and found that we forget 95% of what we hear within 72 hours. Now, that statistic is depressing to a pastor. I can spend all week preparing a message to give to you on a Sunday morning, and by Wednesday, that statistic says you've forgotten 95% of what I've said, unless you've written it down, unless you've reviewed it. James says, receive God's word with the right attitude. Reflect on God's word by reading it and reviewing it. Then review God's word by remembering it. But James is saying that's still not enough. And here's the last point of my message this morning. And it says, third, I must respond to the word of God. I must do something about what I'm hearing. I must act on it. I must live it. I must practice it. In verse 22, it says, do not merely listen to what the word says, because that will only deceive yourself if you're just listening. But do what it says. Practice. What good is a mirror if you look at it and you don't do anything about what you see?
Many people come to church, they hear the Word of God, and they walk out with no intention of it ever affecting them or ever changing them. We must respond to God's Word and let it change us if we're going to be blessed by it. James says, it's self-deception when we don't let it change us. We think that just gaining content is making us spiritual somehow. In other words, if we go to church and we hear the Bible read and we hear the message, somehow that's making us what God wants us to be, making us spiritually mature. But that's not. The test of maturity is not knowledge. The test of maturity is what we do with it. It's character. A lot of people have great Bible knowledge, but they're not very strong spiritually as followers of Jesus. The key is to practice it, to apply it, to put it into one life. And James said, to him who knows to do good and doesn't do it, well, that's sin. So to come here and hear a message and to hear the God's Word and hear know what to do and not do anything about it, that's sin. So in other words, you're worse off leaving church after hearing the Word if you're not doing anything about it than you are not hearing it in the first place. Isn't that a terrible thought? Well, let me give you an illustration. Let's say you folks, as a church, here at the Boones Mill Church, decide you get concerned about me as your pastor and about my health and some health issue. And so you come to me and you say, Jerry, as you move into older years, we don't want you to have an unhealthy body. So you take up an offering as a church and you buy me a gift. You buy me Arnold Schwarzenegger's bodybuilding book, and you give that to me. And you say, this book can change your life, Jerry. It's fantastic. It has changed the lives of millions of people. It will keep you strong. It will be a blessing to you. Read this book, and it will change you. And I say, well, I want a healthy body. Okay, great. And so I take it and I go away for about 6 months, and then I come back and you look at me and you say, what happened? You're the same guy. You say, didn't you read the book, Jerry? And what if I said to you, yeah, I read the book and I enjoyed it. This is the greatest book I've ever read. I loved it. I even underlined portions of it, and look here, I've got colored markers and I've memorized sections of it, and I even started a group with some other people, and I shared the book with them, and we've been studying the book, and we've looked up at all the things that he suggested to do, and we've looked at all the words in the book, and every night I would spend a couple hours studying it. I did everything that you asked. Except I didn't exercise. Well, how often do we do that with the Word of God? Yeah, I read the Bible, but I don't apply it. I don't do what it says. I deceive myself into thinking that because I have knowledge of the Bible, that I would become mature. And having knowledge of bodybuilding book doesn't produce muscles. And James would say, they are hearers of the word, but they're not doers. What James is saying, if you want to be blessed, you've got to live the word of God and not just hear it. Not just know about it. And I really work at making the Bible simple when I try to preach. To me, over the years as a pastor, one of the hardest things that I have had to learn is that when you preach, you want to make the Bible as simple as possible for people to hear, but you also want them to be able to apply it. There is a lot in the Bible that is difficult to understand. It's complex, it's deep, and it goes in many different tangents. Yet, I try to present it in such a way that will be clear, and that will be easy to understand, and easy to put into practice. And when you go out of here, what my prayer, what my hope as a pastor is, I want you to be able to do the Word, and not just hear what the Word has said. I work at making it practical, at least as practical as I know how, and I try to make it simple so that we can put it into practice. And the best translation of Scripture, because there are so many different versions, so many different Bibles, but the best translation of Scripture is when you're able to take whatever word you hear and translate it into your life and let it change you to be the person God wants you to be as you follow Him. Be a doer of the Word. And James is saying that the blessing of the Bible comes when we live it and when it lives in us. So how do you do that? You pray. You confess your sins. You love God. You love one another. And you take up His cross and you follow Jesus every day. Well, before I pray this morning, I want you to meditate upon what I've been trying to say this morning in this message. I want you to let the Word of God speak to you where you're at in your life. Jesus is the Word. You remember in when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. We have the written Word, but the living Word is in Jesus. And so, let the Word of God speak to you this morning. The written Word and the living Word, let Jesus speak to you. Would you pray with me? Almighty God, You told us to be doers of the Word, which means to practice what we already know. And Lord, I pray that You would help us to do the right thing this morning. Lord, maybe it's what we need to do is ask for forgiveness because there's filth in our life. Lord, maybe it's we need to get more involved in the church and we need to join the church. Or Lord, maybe it's to witness some neighbor or some friend, invite them to come to church. Invite them to get involved and receive Christ for the very first time in their life. Lord, help us to do what we need to do, to not deceive ourselves, to not glance at the mirror of the Word and walk away unchanged. But Lord, that we most of all need to respond to it and allow it to live in our lives. So God, we open up our life this morning to Jesus Christ. And we open up so that You can do something in our lives this morning. Oh God, we want to ask Jesus to come into our heart and to help us to live Your Word this week and apply it. Lord, Your Word is true. Your Word is the light for our path. It is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of our heart. And God, may we have pure hearts this morning as we confess our sin, as we come to You. Give us the strength and the courage to do what we know we need to do. And that is to let Jesus be our Lord, to be our Savior. And may we follow Him. And so we ask this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Turn and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. His glory.